Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, this is a great day. This is a great day in the Lord and the great day in the word of the Lord, dear Heavenly Father. It's a great day in the morning. It's a day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, dear Heavenly Father. You've been so good. You've been too good for us to be downhearted and brokenhearted. We just love you, Lord. And Lord, as we approach this word, approach this text, Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding of your word, your way, and how you do things, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that these words hit the mark for what you intended them to, Lord, and that minds will be challenged and hearts will be changed and people will come to faith in Jesus Christ, and those others will be strengthened in their faith. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We're going to actually pick up where we left off last week in the book of Matthew. And in the King James Bible, it reads, Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Say amen when you get there. Okay, Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. And it reads, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' They say unto him," verse 33, "they say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Today, we're going to, as we approach this text, we're going to use as a title, "Because of This Man Named Jesus." Because of this man named Jesus. Life is full of choices. Life is full of choices. Every day you have to make a choice about this, you have to make a choice about that. We even have to decide when the alarm clock goes off, we even got to decide 5 or 10 more minutes. If I leave, exactly how fast can I get to work? We've got it down to the last minute, how long it takes us to get out the front door and get to our desk or get to our station at the job. And Lord, heaven forbid that there's a car wreck. So we make our choices based on the information that we have, and we go right ahead. We do what we want to do. Amen. And usually, 10 more minutes in bed wins out. So, but I'm retired, y'all. I did my 36 years. So now I'm here. I'm doing this. This is the bonus that God gave me. So I'm a happy camper. So, but in this text, we're going to read about two blind men. We're going to read about two blind men. And as we break this text down, we're going to talk about how they made a choice, they made a request, and then they made a decision. They made a choice, they made a request, and then they made a decision. It just kind of bundle it all in like that. But before we get to their choice, how they made their choice, I want you to understand that the Bible tells us that these men, let's see, I think it's in Matthew chapter 9. Let me see. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew chapter 9, I think that everything that's in this text that we're dealing with is predicated on what took place in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. And I'm just going to read 27, and then I'll jump down to 31, because this is not where we're preaching from, but it'll give you an idea. It says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on us.'" You see the rest there, then drop right down to 31. Jesus had told them to hold their peace. Don't be talking. Keep this down. He said, "This is not the time to reveal who I am. Just keep this down." But, verse 31, it says, "But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Now, Jesus had healed them. He had given them sight. And then he said, "Shh, because it's not my time yet to reveal who I am exactly to the world. I've got a plan and I'm working this out." And then they did like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said he wasn't going to talk about God no more. He said God had broken his heart so many times. Those people had beat him. Every time he said something about God, they beat him. They throw him into the pit, feed him the bread of affliction. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say anything else about God. I know sometimes y'all be sitting there in the job site, you know, people be taking God's name, use it all kinds in vain and everything. And you hear them talking crazy and you want to fit in. I mean, nobody wants to be ostracized. Just be honest. Nobody wants to be ostracized from their coworkers, from their family. You just don't want to be ostracized. You don't want to be the one who's going to stand up for Jesus in the midst of all that craziness. But then it's just like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire. It's shut up inside of my bones. My mama used to say, "Oh boy, you got the can't help it." And I can't help it. I can't help it. I got to tell somebody about Jesus. And when you get sold out, when you know what God has done for you and through you and with you, you can't keep your mouth shut. These folks have been blind. And Jesus healed them. He recovered their sight for them. And then he said, "Keep it down." And they said, "Certainly." And they went and they told everybody. They told everybody they had an encounter with. I want y'all. I know he's already delivered many of you into his kingdom, but I want that when God does something for you, please, please don't deny him in public. Please. Because you're talking to people who don't know him oftentimes. And then oftentimes, you're talking to people who know him, but they don't have the strength to stand up for him in public. And just guess what? You just might be that encouragement they need. Because don't you think for one minute the heathen don't glorify his God. Heathen glorify his God all day, every day. Heathen tell the world about his God. Disney just now. Disney. Y'all get record this. Disney. The so-called family people. The next movie. The next cartoon. One of the lead characters. Homosexual animation. That's the family-friendly channel. And you know what's going to happen with God's people? All too often, I pray it doesn't, but I've been dealing with folks a long time. They're going to get in a huff, and they're going to get in a puff, and they're going to say, "Oh, that Disney is evil. Oh, that Disney is mad." Where are you going on vacation? We're going to Disney World. And you just keep pumping money into them. And they take your money. And they take your money to blaspheme your God. And you say, "Amen." Come on, church. Come on, church. At some point in time, we got to say, enough is enough. At some point in time, God's people have to say, "You know what? I don't need that kind of entertainment." At some point, these men, Jesus healed them. He gave them their sight. And they couldn't stop talking about him. So now we're going to fast forward to where we're at in our text. And we're going to hit this fairly quickly because we want to be mindful of the time. But I just got to tell you, because of this man named Jesus, because of this man, I got to talk. Because of this man named Jesus, I got to tell you. And you're going to see where these blind men, the Bible says that the blind men, in verses 29 through 31, it says, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him." Let's start with 29. A great multitude followed him. Take a look at verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18. Just back up a minute. Chapter 20, verse 18. It says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Now, that should be enough to make everybody back off from following Jesus. I don't want to be too close to anybody who knows he's getting ready to walk into a big old fight and get executed. But the Bible says, because of the miracles that he did, because of the wonders that he did, a multitude followed him. Now we get to verse 30. Verse 29 tells us that that multitude is still following Jesus. And then in verse 30, the author of this text, the Holy Spirit, says, behold. That means, wait a minute, stop. I got something really important I want you to see. He says, behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Two blind men. Now, they hadn't read any magazines about Jesus. They hadn't seen any pictures of Jesus. But they heard about Jesus, I believe, because of what we just read in the previous verse where he said that Jesus healed the blind man, and they went all through the region telling everybody. So now these two blind men, they're sitting there, and they hear that Jesus passed by. They didn't hear that Jesus was coming. They heard that Jesus passed by. And they made a choice. They made a choice. See, they had heard of the wonders of Jesus. They had heard about this man named Jesus. But, you know, sometimes pride, sometimes negligence, all kinds of things get in the way of us serving God. All kinds of things get in the way of us really focusing in on Jesus. And so, but now these two blind men are sitting there, and they heard that Jesus passed them by. Now, if you had a lottery ticket and you won, but you're on the third floor of the balcony of the building, and you're sitting there drinking your latte or whatever it is you drink, and you heard that your lottery ticket was the number one lottery ticket, and you said, hallelujah! And your lottery ticket went over the balcony. I guarantee you, you'd get down to the ground before the ticket got to the ground, because you knew that it was important. You knew that it would change your life. These two blind men, they didn't hear about Jesus approaching. They heard about Jesus passing them by. And I believe they probably said one to another, this is our chance. This is our chance. Don't let it slip by. Don't let your chance go by. And the Bible says they made a choice. See, now you got to understand, blind people back in this time, most of them were beggars. There wasn't a whole lot of work for a blind man to do. So the way you provided for your family was you begged for alms. Most of them were beggars. And people, it's like when you see people on the streets, homeless, dirty and stuff. You may help them, but you don't go chum up with them. You just don't. But here these folks are homeless. By the way, I'm so glad that Jesus don't mind a little dirt. Jesus don't mind a little funk. See, because the Bible tells you that Jesus meets you right where you're at. You might be dirty. You might be smelly. You might be nasty. But Jesus meets you right where you're at. And don't miss this. Sometimes you clean, you look real good on the outside, and you're still just as dirty and nasty and low down and lost on the inside. And Jesus comes to all of us, no matter where we're at. But that's why this text is so beautiful, because here's these two blind men. Like I said, it doesn't say they're beggars, but most of them were beggars back then. And as they heard that Jesus was passing by, they said, we got to make a choice. We can either sit here and keep our mouth shut and don't say anything and let the chance of a lifetime go past. Or we could say something. We could stand up. We could speak up. We could shout. And the Bible says that they cried out to Jesus. They didn't go, hey, Jesus. Pardon me, Jesus. No, this is a multitude. This is a whole bunch of people. Here's your chance. Ain't but two of you in the midst of a multitude, in the midst of a tumult. Have you ever been down by American Airlines Center when you're walking with your wife or your kids, and then all of a sudden the crowd starts pressing, and next thing you know, your wife's over there and you're over here? How are you going to shout out to somebody down there in the midst of that tumult? The Bible says they screamed out. He says they cried out. They cried out, have mercy. Have mercy on us. O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, you got to understand, when people get saved, when people are Christian folks, we get a certain amount of decorum. We want things to go a certain way all the way every day. We got some decorum. And so these folks acting a fool. Jesus, have mercy. See, because y'all don't understand, this is my last chance. This is my chance to get my sight. I don't know, I ain't heard of anybody in the history of mankind anywhere who done touched somebody's eyes and gave them sight, and he's passing me by. Jesus, some of you are lost. You don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins. You're down. You're sinking. You're sinking in the waves of sin, the weight of sin. Call on the name of Jesus. Make a choice today. Make a choice. Speak up. And then when they spoke up, when they shouted out, when they cried, Jesus, the crowd, the multitude said, psh, have some decorum. Have some order about you. How do old folks say? Stop acting a fool. Act like you got some sense. Shh. Settle down. But oh, what the multitude didn't know was these two men were saying, this is my chance. This is my chance. This is my chance to get a touch from Jesus. And can't nobody stop. Can't nobody shut me up. Because of this man, Jesus, he's the only one that I know of that I have a chance. He's the only one that I know of that there's any hope for my situation. Folks been addicted to drugs. I've met people. I met a vice principal of a high school. This brother had been addicted to crack cocaine. He had been addicted for years to crack cocaine. And I'm sitting there, and we got to know each other, and we're just talking. I said, Brent, this brother is sharp. This brother is this. He said, Brother Milbury, I just got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, wasn't that many years ago, I was out on the street. He said, I was stealing from my own mama. He said, it had me. It had me. But I took a chance on Jesus. He made a choice. He made a choice, y'all. We all got choices. We all have choices. We all have choices. The Bible tells us that even in Joshua 24:15. See, you have a choice. Stop saying, well, you know, I'm stuck because I was born on this side of the tracks, because of the color of my skin, because of the education that I have, because of the education I don't have, because of the money I have, because of the money I don't have. I'm just stuck. You're never stuck when you call on Jesus. Joshua. Now, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Understand, God had done great things for the Jews. He had done great things for Israel. He had parted the Red Sea for Moses. And then when the Jordan was at high tide, at high flood time, he had taken the children with Joshua and he walked them across on dry ground. He had done incredible things. And even with that, they didn't allow their faith to hold strong. Yet faith is always tested, but you always have the opportunity to make a choice. Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua said, you know, Joshua, he was a strong leader. He was a strong man of God. But he was about sick of these people. And so he said, look, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Church, today, because of this man named Jesus, I want you to make a choice. I'm not even asking you to wait till tomorrow. I'm telling you today, pick who you're going to serve. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to keep tippy-toeing, playing around with God? Who are you going to serve today? Make a decision, make a choice, because Jesus is passing by. So these men, they said, Jesus is passing by. So this is the son of David. They said, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, I want this is one of those little teaching moments. Get your pen. Write this down. Epithet. E-P-I-T-H-E-T. E-P-I-T-H-E-T. Epithet. And as usual, Dr. Martin has it up on the wall. Amen. Okay. I give you mine. Now, that word, epithet. Here's why I want you to learn that word. Here's why it's intriguing to me. Because these men, they're saying, O Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But over in Matthew chapter 20, verse 18, just look on the other page, Matthew chapter 20, verse 18. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief. Now, is he the Son of Man, or he's the Son of David? Why does he refer to himself? See, you saw the definition. Oh, let me say, any word or phrase applied to a person or thing to describe an actual or attributed quality. That's what the word epithet means. Jesus, his most favorite epithet for his own self is Son of Man. Son of Man. So why in some texts it says Son of Man, in other texts it says thou Son of David? Don't forget, we're in Matthew. Here's why they say Son of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And this is why when you have Jewish friends or Jewish co-workers, it's a good thing to send them to the book of Matthew, because they're going to see the genealogy, the Jewish genealogy of Jesus. And it says, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. This shows when he's being referred to as the son of David, this shows his genealogy in the kingly genealogy in the Jewish nation. His being the son of Abraham, he's a Jew, and being the son of David, he's in the kingly priestly line. So the men who are talking to him, the blind men, are Jewish because they're saying, thou son of David. That means nothing to anybody else other than a Jewish person. But then why did Jesus refer to himself as the son of God, the son of man, as his favorite epithet for himself? Because he said, son of man, he's the second Adam. He's the Son of Man. And what, look, the purpose of the Son of David was to be the Messiah to the Jewish community. The work of the Son of Man is right here in verse 18. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and he shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to do and to crucify him, and on the third day he shall rise again. He is going to be persecuted for the whole world. He's the Son of Man, all mankind. And now, but you see, the blind men are saying, Son of David, Jewishness. We serve a Jewish Savior, y'all. That's why when we talk about where do you stand with Israel, you want to know why that makes a big difference? Because it's the same Israel today that it was when Jesus walked the roads. It's the same Jewish community. Some of them believed when Jesus walked it. Some of them didn't. Some of them believe now. Some of them don't. Does it matter? No, because the promises to them based on God's goodness, not their goodness. And the promise to God to us to bless us if we bless them is based on his goodness and his word. Because God said, I changed that. Ooh, that's good news. Ooh, that's good news. Okay, so we have this. They made a choice. Verses 30 through 31. They made a choice. They called out to the name, oh Lord, Son of David, have mercy. Lord, why are you going to ask a stranger to have compassion on you? Because they had heard about Jesus. Now, in verses 32 and 33, they made a request. Look what happens here. Look what happens here in 32. They called Jesus out the midst of this tumult, out the midst of this multitude. They cried out to the point that they could be heard by the Son of David. They cried out, and then it says, something happened. It says, and as they cried out, Jesus, stop. He stopped for two blind men. In the midst of all this clamor, in the midst of all this carrying on, Jesus, the King of Glory, the word incarnate, he stopped for two blind men who can't do nothing for him? Ah, we serve a good God. We serve a good God. I'm here to tell you, he stopped for one. I know one personally he stopped for. Amen. You know anybody he stopped for? Amen. Y'all know anybody he stopped for? Amen. Did he stop for you? When you cried out, did he stop for a minute? Did he say, hush? Did he say, wait. The angels is praising him. What the angels say? Holy, 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 Lord God. Shh, wait a minute. Somebody calling my name. Oh, man. Jesus, wait, but they're calling me. They're calling me. Shh. Don't you know he'll do that for everybody here and then some? He'll stop for you if you just give him your time. They made a choice. They made a choice to give some time to Jesus, and Jesus stopped. He stopped. And at that moment, there was nothing more important to our Savior than those two men. And he said, he stood still and he called them, oh Lord, and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? Jesus said, what do you need? What do you need? Church, I want you to take in the magnitude of that statement. When the one who spoke the world in creation into existence, when the one who told Moses to hold out your rod, I'm going to part the Red Sea. When he told Joshua, when you put your foot, I'm going to give you dry ground. The one who when Joshua prayed and Joshua said, Lord, I'm still fighting. Will you hold the sun in the sky for a little bit longer? I got some work to do. That's the one. That's this man named Jesus. That's the one who says to you and to me, what do you need? What do you need? Don't play with God when he asks you what you need. I think there's been some really good examples of folks who've made choices for Jesus when it came down to what they need. But I tell you one who I think tops the chart, Solomon. Solomon, and I love this about Solomon because you'll find that about Solomon in what, 1 Chronicles 5, I believe it is, and just that whole, no, 2 Kings chapter 5. You'll read about Solomon, who God said was the wisest man who ever lived. God gave him more money, more honor, more glory, more everything that he could possibly handle. But it all started with this, y'all. Don't miss this, because this is what God said to Solomon. He said, Solomon, here's my checkbook. What do you need? What do you want? What do you want, Solomon? And you know what Solomon did? Solomon said, Lord, I just want you to give me some wisdom. Lord, you have set me up to rule over your people. You have called me to a job. Y'all, God has called each and every one of us here to be missionaries, ambassadors to this world, to be salt and light in this world. And when Solomon, God set Solomon up to be the king, he said, Solomon, tell me what you want. Tell me what you need, Solomon. And Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to govern your people. Maybe your prayer is, I got children who are wayward. Lord, I need wisdom. Maybe they haven't gone wayward yet. That's cool. But ask for wisdom so that when that day comes, Lord, my finances are messed up. Lord, I've been out of work. I've been in work. I've been out of work. Lord, I need wisdom on how to serve you in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this tribulation. And look at what God did with Solomon. Y'all don't miss this. He said, Solomon, what do you want? Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom. And the Bible says that God told Solomon. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. Because you asked for it to glorify me. Amen. See, when you pray, sometimes when first let our prayers start maturing to the point where it's okay to pray for yourself. It's a good thing to pray for yourself. But at some point in our maturity, we got to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Let your prayer, and that needs to be reflected in our prayers. Not my will, but your will. Lord, teach me how to go through this trial. Teach me how to deal with this tribulation. But Lord, you just use me the way you want to use me. And then he'll do you just like he did Solomon. Solomon was praying for his daily bread, and God gave him pies and cake. Church, don't be amazed. God is amazing. God is incredible. He said, Solomon, I'm going to give you more money, give you more riches, give you more land, give you more everything than what you ever dreamed possible, simply because you made a prayer to glorify me. Oh, church, please, when you pray, it's okay to pray for yourself. It's a good thing to pray for yourself. But at some point, get to the point to where when you make a request, let that request somewhere be in there. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? The men said to Jesus, they said, we want that you would open our eyes. We want that you would open our eyes. And first they made a request. They called on the name of Jesus. They called him Lord, which means they knew that he was the King of Kings. And they called him Son of David, which meant that they knew he was the Anointed One. And by the way, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, under the Old Testament covenant, people were saved by faith. You know what faith they were saved by? They were saved by the faith that God was going to bring them. God was going to, what's the word? God was going to bring his Messiah. God was going to keep his promise of the Messiah. And so that's how they were saved. That's how they were saved. In the gospel message, in the midst of the gospel message, you know how they were saved?
They were saved because they believed that God had kept his promise and he had brought the Messiah right there to them. You know how we're saved? We believe that we are saved by the faith that God, that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, and he's coming back. He's coming back. Church, make a request. First, make a choice. Then make a request. And then we're going to see here at the end where it says, verse 33, let's read 32. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Jesus asked them, what did they want? They told him what they wanted. And then verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Make a choice, make a request, and then let's see about this decision. Jesus gave them what they asked him for. Jesus gave them what they asked him. Jesus has given many of us what we asked for. Jesus has given us eternal life. Jesus has renewed our marriages. Jesus has brought our children back into proper arrangement with the family. Jesus has given us jobs that we couldn't even dream of having. And he's done all these things. But now, guess what? Just like these blind men, are you going to follow him? Are you going to follow him? Or are you going to say, thank you, Lord. I got mine. Let them get theirs. Are you going to serve him? And by the way, don't forget, they're with the multitude. And don't forget what we first read. Jesus said, hey, y'all, understand, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be crucified. It's going to get rough along the way. There's going to be some collateral damage along the way. But the Bible says they still followed him. He warned all of us. Once you take a stand for Jesus, once you take a stand for Jesus, even in your house, once you take a stand for Jesus, you take a stand on what marriage is, you take a stand on what you do with unborn children, you take a stand on Israel, you take a stand for God, you better get ready. You better get ready, because there's going to be some collateral damage. But they knew that, and they still made a decision to follow this man named Jesus. Last thing, this man named Jesus, I saw where they didn't want him to pass him by. They cried out. They screamed out with all their might, Jesus, the Son of David, help us. Then when Jesus asked them, what do you want? The Bible says they told him, we want to be able to see. Lord, thou Son of David, we'd like to be able to see you. Jesus gave them their sight. And then this man named Jesus challenged them, what you going to do now that you know me? Now that I've granted your request, are you going to follow me? Are you going to make a decision to follow me? Here's why they followed him. They followed him. I'm going to tell you why they followed him. They followed him. I follow him. Many of y'all follow him. People have been following him since the day he rose from the dead. People have been following him. And I'm going to tell you why folks follow him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Many people have different ideas about, I've had people tell me I got a special deal worked out with God. Some people think, well, if I'm Buddhist or if I'm Muslim or if I'm similar, I'm okay with God. No. If you're going to follow God, you're going to make a decision about this man named Jesus, because according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other option. There's no plan B. There's not going to be another crucifixion. There's not going to be another resurrection. It's one time. And Jesus says, for those who love me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Understand, there's nobody comes to the Father but by me. That's the words of this man named Jesus. Make a choice. Make a request. Make a decision. Would you like to follow him? Are you going to follow him? Thank you for your time. Thank you.